I would tell men, take every day and treat it as a precious gift that you have to love and affirm your family and to keep your passion strong for the things of God, because that's what will have a lasting generational impact.
Hey everybody, I'm Todd Mullins. Welcome to Made for More, a podcast all about helping you live the life you were made for. This is a space where we talk about faith that works and leadership that lasts, and how to bring both of those into the everyday moments that shape our lives. My goal is to give you perspective so you can win where it matters most. And I hope you walk away from this conversation a little more encouraged and a little more equipped for all God has called you to do and who He's called you to be. Enjoy today's episode. Well, I am so excited that you are with us today on the Made for More podcast. I believe this is going to be one of my most favorite podcast episodes ever, because I get to have this talk with my dad, my hero, my childhood hero, my adulthood hero, my pastor, my leader. You have impacted, Dad, literally, I can't even count, tens of thousands of people's lives all around the world, but you've not impacted anybody as much as you've impacted me. And I am so grateful for you and your life and your leadership and everything that you are, everything you have been to so many. And I know this is going to be just a great podcast where we just like unearth some stuff.
I'm the one honored, Todd, to be with you. And so much of the enjoyment I have is we get to serve together in the kingdom of God.
Right.
And we got to share the platform this past weekend together, which is phenomenal.
Yes.
So I'm excited about this today.
This is a continuation.
Yeah. And you know, and I haven't done too many podcasts. So this is like, I'm kind of a rookie at podcasts. So this is good. Break me in.
I'll break you in. Okay. Well, I'll make it easy. Before we get started and jump into the good stuff, the heavy stuff, just on the surface, what's one or two things that people listening may not know about Coach Mullins?
I love to ride horses.
I
grew up riding horses, and I just actually had an experience in Montana about a month ago where I got to go out and play cowboy.
Yeah.
And they had contests for everything from roping to horseback riding and shooting targets to herding cattle. And I won the belt. I won the title.
And
I was the old guy there, and I still won. So that was, you know, I'm still kind of a cowboy. And I don't know if people know that I'm kind of a cowboy at heart.
Yeah, I love that. I love that at 80 years old, you are still going strong and like riding cowboys, roping horses, shooting stuff. I love it. It's great.
Yeah, we were branding cattle. We did the whole thing. I mean, it was pure cowboy all the way. I love it.
Yeah. What's giving you joy right now? Is there one thing that you think of that's like, this is really bringing joy to my heart?
Well, I think watching what God's doing in the midst of the church, and especially with our students. I got to sneak in on one of the camps recently and just watch a worship session of our students excited about God. I was sitting there crying backstage, just realizing how blessed I am. I get to see and experience this. That's what brings great joy to my heart, just seeing what God is doing.
Dad, I think at your age, most people your age are slowing down, right? But you just have this drive in you that isn't slowing down. Where does that come from? Where does that, like, you're like, you just got back from Africa, over there preaching to pastors, encouraging the church, building the church, opening wells, opening schools up that the church is helping to fund. We talked about that some this weekend. Where does it come from on the inside of you?
I think it lives, I live with a sense of anticipation of that we're in an era and a time that God's moving. And I'm excited to see what is that next thing God has that He's doing. And whether I'm in Africa or whether I'm here in South Florida, no matter where I am, I have a sense of anticipation that God is up to something great and I get to experience it. And so I live with expectation. And expectation is amazing what it does for you. It gives you energy. It really gives you energy to face every day. And I think that because I'm also a person that I don't look back very much except to say, thank you, Lord, for the back. I'm not living back there. I'm living here, and I'm living in what is about to come.
Yeah.
And I'm anticipating great things. So that creates excitement, and it gives you energy.
Yeah. Well, there's times when you and I get together and we're talking about, you know, the upcoming, you know, the month we're in and places I got to go, things you got to do. And when I compare my list to your list, I'm exhausted looking at your list. I'm like sometimes going, I can't keep up with what you're doing.
Well, you know, that's the old adage, you've got to outrun the old man that's trying to catch you. So I don't want to slow down, but no. I don't want the old man to catch me. I still got this illusion I'm somewhere more like in my late 60s, 70s, until I realized what really hit me hard, Todd, honestly, was that mom and I are great-grandparents. That wasn't too hard, but what hit me was I have a son that's a grandfather.
Yeah, right.
So that hit me pretty hard. Yeah, so I'm running past that one.
Yeah, I think you still think you're like 50. I think coaches are always younger in spirit and younger in heart and mind. And that's great, because as long as you stay 50, I can't be 50. So I think that's pretty good. That's working. Let me ask you this question. A lot of people, everybody gets older, but few people get better, right? There's a difference between getting older and getting better. Let's talk a little bit about, as you've gotten older, how you've gotten better. What have you done to invest in yourself, to get better, to keep growing? And this applies to every one of us. You can be 30 listening right now, but you constantly not satisfied with where you are as maybe a father, a leader, a business owner, a follower of Jesus. You're constantly working that.
I think it's about your being so intentional to keep growing yourself. Be so intentional about who you build strong relationships with. Be intentional about where you're investing your time to get the greatest return for the things of God. And I think that intentionality is what keeps you fresh and keeps you growing. I remember that when I went back to work on my PhD, they asked me the question, why are you doing this in your 70s, going to get a PhD? Because it is a lot of work, you know, 3 years of study, and then the dissertation is so taxing and demanding. I already had an earned doctorate degree, like you have, and they asked me a question. I said, well, it's simple. I said, I'm doing it for two reasons. I want to keep growing myself and challenging myself, but secondly, I'm a big believer you lead by example. So if I want our team to constantly be growing themselves, I've got to be growing myself.
Right.
So I think that mindset of keep yourself growing. I'm always wanting to learn and investigate. I take detailed notes every time you or Ryan or anyone's teaching.
Yes, you do.
I want to learn. So I think that keeps me fresh and keeps me growing.
Yeah. Instead of thinking I've got it figured out, I've learned what I need to learn. Too many people, that's where they're at. And because of it, it keeps them from staying teachable and open and growing. But I've seen you taking notes while I'm preaching. I'm like, well, I've learned everything from you. I can't imagine there's anything that I'm saying that you didn't already teach me or know.
Oh, no, you come up with some great stuff. And I take it and preach it on other campuses. And I don't give you credit anymore you're blood. So I just figure it's part of us. I just use it, you know.
Yeah. I love it. Let me ask you this question. At this stage of your life, still on this growing thing, what are you learning now that you wished you had learned in your 40s, right? When you were a younger man, that you're like, man, if I had learned that back then, it would have helped me more, because there's a lot of 40-somethings listening that they would love a little perspective on maybe what to give some added attention to. This could be in life, with family, with God, with leadership. Where anything come to mind?
Well, yeah, two things jump out at me right away. One is finding the right balance for the season of life you're in.
Okay.
When I look back, I realized there were times where I didn't allow enough time for you and for your sister and for your mother, because I was so consumed with my career in coaching. And when I was coaching in college, and I remember that horrible winter when we had all that snow and I'm off in Cincinnati trying to recruit a player, when I could have put that on hold knowing a storm was coming, but I was like, I can outrun the storm. It took me 10 hours to get home. You guys were sitting in a house with
no power, no heat, no
water. And I had to borrow a chainsaw to build a fire and cut a tree down. I mean, all that stuff. And I look back and I say, man, what's wrong with you? You didn't have your life in the right balance at those times. That's the first thing that hit me. And the second way I'd answer that question is, I think in the early years, I did too many good things alone. Mm. And I kind of look at that now. I never want to do anything good alone. I want to have people with me on the journey. I want it to be a learning experience for all of us. And even when I go off to do fun things, when I'm going off on some of my adventures, I want to take people with me. I want you with me. I want Jefferson with me. I want men of the church with me. so that we can have these great adventure experiences together. Mm-hmm. And even when I went out and played cowboy in Montana, I had a couple guys from church with me playing cowboy.
Yeah. What would you say, let's stay on the family thing for a minute, because you know that notorious winter in Kentucky is actually the catalyst to why we're in Florida again, because we had lived in Florida, moved up there, and then you and mom said, man, we're coming back to Florida.
Yeah, so mom thank said, God. No more winters
thank
like
the
this.
Lord. That happened that way, I guess. But what would you love to say to all the dads that are listening right now? What would you want to, how would you, besides that priority of timing, is there any other coaching that you would give to dads that right now have kids at home?
Well, I made a comment a minute ago about leading by example. And I think, dads, we have to model for our children what we really desire for our children. And I think because they catch our passions.
Yeah.
And I think when we're passionate about the Lord, we're passionate about his church, and we're letting his love guide us, that we're passionate about our love. I hope that I was able to model a little bit how to love your wife the way I've loved your mother the way I've tried to love you.
Yeah.
And I remember telling you when you held Jefferson in your arms for the first time, I remember telling you this. I said, son, now you know the love I've had for you.
Yeah.
That you could never know the depth of my love until now you have your own son that you love, or a child that
you love. I remember when you said it, I just started bawling because I was Jefferson realizing
you've
it.
You've got that love.
But also overwhelmed by your love, yes.
I think I would tell men, take every day and treat it as a precious gift that you have to love and affirm your family and to keep your passion strong for the things of God, because that's what will have a lasting generational impact. Because I look at my life, and it was shaped by my grandfather and his love and his passions. And I call all of his passions, you know, his passion for the Lord, his passion for the church, the family, for the church,
for
and
hunting,
for the outdoors.
For hunting.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, hunting and fishing, he was passionate about, and I've caught all those passions.
Yeah, for sure. Great. Yeah, well, your passion for God was obvious. You and mom. Mom's in the studio here with us today, and I'm just trying to cry as I'm saying this, but you guys made such a huge impact because of your passion for God. Your love for Jesus, your love for the Word of God, your love for prayer. I don't remember a morning I woke up where I walked into the kitchen and mom wasn't with her Bible open and notes spread out on the kitchen table, and we had to kind of move them away for breakfast, but where that was the groundwork for what an imprint that left on my soul, my spirit. And no parent's perfect, right? But when you look back on your life, is there anything that you wish you had done differently? Like when it came to raising your family, besides, you know, the priority thing you mentioned, is there anything you'd go, man, if I could go back, I might change this. I might reemphasize. I might put more emphasis on this. Was there anything that comes to mind?
I think it was that balance, Todd, between my being driven in my career and accepting my responsibility. It took that harsh winter in Kentucky that brought me to my senses. I was actually laying under our house in a frozen mud under our home, new home that we were living in, in a crawl space. Trying to repair a frozen water pipe that had burst with duct tape.
Yeah.
And I'm laying there going, what kind of man are you? Does it really matter in the end how many games you've won, how successful you are in that? What really matters in the end? And what really matters is what kind of father, what kind of husband, what kind of spiritual leader have you been to your family? Mm-hmm. And that's what really rocked me, because I was in that turning point between what I was passionately pursuing the hardest, and I found that my priorities were out of alignment. And I think you can excel at what you do in whatever career God's called you to, but it starts with the balance of excelling at home first.
Yeah.
And I think I had to bring those things back into balance.
Yeah. And I think it's a constant
tension.
Tension that we all have to manage as parents, right? Because there is the demands, the practical demands of raising family and raising, you know, all that. But the most important thing is at the end of the day, that your family, the people closest to you love you the most. Not what everybody else sees from a platform somewhere or on a podcast somewhere, but the people closest to you love you the most.
The one thing I would say that, of course, your mom has been such a godly woman her
an
whole
anchor.
Life. And she was that way. She'd only date me in church. I mean, hello, come on. So God knew I needed her.
Might be a good word for all the single girls listening today.
If they won't date you in church, tell them to hit the road, Jack. So, you know, kind of thing. But that the balance that we had, too, was that we made our weekend worship experience was always a priority. So we were raised in the church, and we were raised, you never miss church, and boom, the greatest thing in the world a gift ever gave to me was that instilled in us, because we raised our family. We raised you and your sister, Noelle.
Long before there was a Christ Fellowship, long before you were pastors.
And, and we volunteered. I mean, we all were all in volunteering for all those years, too. So, but that was the one balancing thing that always brought things kind of back into balance. Mm-hmm. That we did right, that I'm thankful for, that we made it a priority, that we were in the house of God, serving together as a family in the house of God.
Yeah. Let's talk about following God for a minute. Can you look back at an act of obedience, one act of obedience that changed everything for you?
Well,
I know of one in my mind, but.
Well, there's many, but the one that hits me first of all is the one of Israel. Our first trip to Israel in 1983, you were there and your sister was there, Mom, and our first encounter. And I had an encounter with the Lord there in the Church of Holy Sepulchre that changed us. I mean, I just knew that God wanted more of me than what I was giving him. He always had my Sundays, but I had my Monday through Saturday, you know. So that was that moment that I felt like we need to have a moment of surrender to whatever that God had intended for us. Mm-hmm. And we all have to come to those moments of encounter. Mm-hmm. And so we stepped out in obedience in that. And I think that's what, and it wasn't easy. I mean, those early years were tough. It was a real challenge to me and a real, you know, this whole thing. I heard these sermons about self-denial. I didn't know what a self-denial really meant.
Yeah.
But I started experiencing it because there were things that I wanted to do, but I knew that God had called me to do other things. So I had to put his things the priority. I don't know if it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And live that out every day when it didn't look hopeful. A lot of people, they see Christ Fellowship as the church it is today.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But when you said yes to God, well, in December, there wasn't even a Christ Fellowship yet on that trip.
No,
the following year, the Bible study started in your mom's living room with 20 people and then grew. But it was when you said yes and said, okay, I'm going to step away from my lifelong career in athletics.
Which was my love. I mean, that was part of my identity.
Yeah.
I mean, my identity was a football player coach. And a successful coach.
Yeah.
And I loved coaching. I loved my players. To this day, I just got a picture from a couple of my players that I can't believe some guys I coached just turned 70 years old. I'm going, how did they turn 70? Yeah. I just coached these guys. Wasn't that a few years ago?
Yeah.
And they were telling me how much they loved me, and they were telling me. I said, boy, you guys are looking good. I think you can still play and hit somebody. And just so, I mean, I love that world. I still love that world.
Yeah.
But I realized that there was something higher God had called me to, and I needed to obey that calling.
You had to lay down what you wanted to pick up what God wanted.
Right.
And if you had not done that, if your mom had not done that, Christ Fellowship would never have been started.
Right.
We wouldn't be impacting all the people. We're having all the people, the next generation, all the stuff. We could list it. But so, you know, I probably don't say this enough, but really, and I honor you and mom and for your willingness to, that obedience was hard. And sometimes obedience is hard. Sometimes being willing to deny yourself is gonna be something. It's more than just, I'm not gonna say that word that might put somebody down. It's actually, I'm gonna adjust my entire life to follow God's plan for my life. And I think that's what Jesus is looking for.
You know what helped us too, Todd, as you well know, we had strong families around us. We had strong friends around us.
Yeah, you did.
You know, you've kind of coined that phrase now, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Well, the people that we had built strong relationships with, that we could pray with, that we could have confidence in their counsel, really gave us the strength to step out by faith.
Yeah.
So it I'm thankful that God had allowed us to build such strong relationships that are there for us.
Let's jump to your latest book, Coach's Playbook. We mentioned this in the weekend service for people, but some of you on the podcast, you may not be aware. My dad just came out with his latest book. Talk a minute about what drove you to write this book, and then give us just a peek into one or two of the key thoughts that a reader is going to get.
Well, I get this question often from young leaders. You know, what do you wish you knew when you were 30 that you know now? You kind of opened up the podcast asking me a little question about like that. And that's what kind of motivated me to write this book. I thought, okay, what are like 10 lessons that could like be life lessons I'd want to pass on to the emerging generation? Because as you know, I'm passionate about training up this emerging generation as we can. Calling them out, calling the champion out in them is really my passion to do that. So that's what motivated me to write the book. I start off with how to lead like a coach versus typical leadership like a boss would lead of an organization and try to help them see how coaches look at things. You know, you don't hire people for a job. You recruit people to be a part of a team.
Yeah.
You know, and you have shared goals, and you know how to not only build that team, get them in the right position, celebrate that team, and then that motivates the team to fulfill the mission that the team's on. And so I have a chapter on that in there. And
You say everybody wants a coach, nobody wants a boss.
Nobody wants a boss, but everybody wants a coach.
Yeah.
But I've also understood to coach others up, you got to be coached by yourself.
Come on.
So, you know, I want to remain coachable.
Yeah.
I still want to be coached up, you know?
Okay. Let me just pause and say, because some people listening may not know this, you'll get done preaching after the first service and we'll just pop back in the back, you know, back behind the platform for a minute, get a cup of coffee. I coffee, you get a Coke or something. And you'll say, what do you want me to change? Is there anything you can get better? And I'm like, you are coach, legend, Tom Mullins, I'm not going to tell you to change anything. And you're like, no, tell me. I got three more goes at this thing. I want it to get better, which is something we did years and years before.
We've been doing it for years here.
And I do that, but that you still do that speaks volumes of that I want to stay teachable spirit, man. So.
And mom will always come and say, please don't tell that story. You know, like, you know, so she's all the time calling me up and correcting me. Oh, don't tell that
story. But it's all for the good, and she's always right.
Yeah, but, you know, but I want to stay coachable. And I think that if you're not coachable, then it really limits your ability to help coach others.
Yep.
And encourage them to go on their life. We talk a lot in there about how to build strong teams and celebrate those teams.
How to empower the teams.
How to
empower
those teams.
You have a whole chapter on that, which is really
important. And then I have a whole chapter on integrity, because the whole principle there is if you guard your integrity, it will guard you. And it's so critical in your life, because people don't follow you because of title or position. They follow you because of your character.
Yeah.
They follow you because of your true compassion and your proven competence at what you do.
Yeah.
And so we talk a little bit about that. Then I close out the book with my favorite chapter, which is be a leader worth following.
Okay.
And I give five examples of five men who have profoundly impacted, you know, my life and my journey to where I am today.
Yeah. Dad, I think it's really remarkable how you have constantly been growing yourself as a leader. We've talked about this throughout the podcast here, but you keep looking for those opportunities to grow. Of course, we have one of those opportunities coming up. We mentioned it this past Sunday.
Oh, excited
Day
about it.
To Lead is Thursday, October the 8th. You'll be a part of sharing some of your leadership wisdom with everybody here. And so I would encourage everybody who's listening, if you have not yet signed up for Day to Lead, you need to be there. You need to grab a couple people from your office, from your team to get there. We will have a link in the show notes of this episode for you to be able to jump in to be a part. But just speak to that for a minute again.
It's great, because I talked to some of our business leaders from last year's
Day to Lead,
and they were over the top excited. Yeah. Their teams were over the top excited, and all the value add. This is a way for us to add value to our teams and add value to your coworkers. And it's going to be a great lineup, and I love it.
John Maxwell will be there, Ryan Leak.
John will be going. I mean, John's great. You know, I love the fact that I got to travel with John in his early years, you know, back 30 years ago when he was launching Equip. I carried his briefcase around the world and got him Diet Cokes and clean food off of him, you know, and helped him. And John, I learned so much sitting under John, too, and learning to him teach the lessons and stuff that he also modeled. But putting yourself in those positions to learn. I had James on our staff walk into my office the other day, and he said, hey, here's a new book on leadership that I read I think you'll like. Because he reads a lot. So I said, okay, when you find something really good, bring it to my attention. I want to read it. I want to learn from it.
Dad, you have lived a life that has really impacted countless numbers of people and is still going strong, impacting countless numbers of people over and over again. I want to talk about this leaving a legacy, right? Finishing well, right? There's a lot of people that start really strong, but they don't end strong. Speak just a little bit about how, did you give thought to that when you were 30 years old, 40 years old, or were you just like trying to live well that day, and living well that day ended up leaving a legacy? Speak a little bit about what the concept of legacy is.
Well, Todd, you preached in a message recently about Daniel making a resolve when he was a young man.
A teenager,
not to defile himself and to really be committed to the Lord. And then when it came to a real test here, he's 80 years old. Mm-hmm. And the real test comes that ended up throwing him into a lion's den because he refused to compromise his faith. I do think that there is something about the early resolve that we make in our lives to stand true to the principles of God and to live a life of honor. Mm-hmm. It was instilled in me from my grandfather. I remember vividly him many times saying to me, he called me Tommy, he said, Tommy, just always live to honor God. Mm. And when you do that, you position yourself for God to bring honor through you to others. And I believe that the blessing that we have comes when we just strive to honor God and do the most honorable thing in our relationships with people. And that's kind of been a pathway. And then the other principle I learned from my grandfather that I tried to put into practice is affirmation, the power of affirmation. And I learned that in coaching and in ministry, and I get to have many sons of the gospel now that I'm mentoring around the world. I just came back from Africa where I got to pour into 2,500 pastors in Kenya. And I'm so humbled that I can go and share with these men and women of God and try to call that champion out in them. But I think legacy is about what we have left behind and deposited in people that help them to become all God called them to be. It's what we have kind of set in motion in their lives. And I just am thankful that I'm so blessed to have had such great leaders pour into my life. And I want to be known as a man who's pouring into others and calling the best out in them. Yeah. So I think just striving to say, God, I want to honor you today. Help me to know how to honor you, how to add the value to others today, and love them with your love. Mm-hmm. And I think that builds the legacy that we all want to have.
Yeah. Okay. So your race is far from over, but when your race is over, what do you hope that your children and your spiritual children say about you in your life?
Wow. I think that I was a man that strived to honor God and was always looking to call the champion out in others. Yeah. I think that's my desire.
You're doing it well. You're doing it really well.
Oh, I know you're a champion.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Sorry. The last question I ask everybody on the podcast, you spent your whole life helping others experience the more that God has for them. Mm. How has your definition of more changed as you've gotten older?
I think it's the more of the presence of God. I hunger for that in both my private time of prayer and in the Word, and I love our corporate time. I hunger to get in the midst of the worship service.
Yeah, me too.
I love to be in the worship, and I love to be sitting under the Word being proclaimed to me under the anointing of God, and just being in that presence. So I love the private and the corporate presence, and that's where the real more is. And you know, you and I have said this many times, and we've said this at many memorial services. The only thing that matters at the end of life, when you're beside somebody's bed and they're getting ready to step into eternity, is their love relationship with God, their Father through Jesus, and their love relationship with their family.
Yeah.
And that's the more. I want more of that. I want a deeper love in our family. I want a deeper love with our Lord in heaven. And I just want to bring a smile to his face.
Yeah. I believe you have and you are doing that in Jesus' name, man. Love you, Dad. Thank you for being on the
love
podcast
you, Todd.
Today.
Thank you.
Yeah, if this has helped you, which I don't know how it couldn't have helped you, make sure that you like it. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you post it or share it with somebody that needs to hear everything that we're talking about today. Also, if you did not get one of my dad's book, Coach's Playbook, it's the latest book. So it's like I'm reading the playbook of my life and how you raised me and how you led our church so well for decades. Make sure you pick one of these up. All of this is in the show links. We've got show notes there for you. You got the links. We'll see you next time on Made for More.